This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Good. Okay, welcome everyone to tonight's event. Some of us have had the opportunity to hear Rabbi Gladstein. In my house, I don't know if my kids know what Rabbi Gladstein looks like, but they for sure know his voice because his shiurim are constantly on in my home, and that's why I'm very familiar with the Rav. I know I'm not the only one who knows the secret of Rabbi Gladstein. It's a secret because the rabbis like to keep it a secret because we get a lot of our information and a lot of our shiurim are based on the Rav's classes that he gives. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Rav has probably the most shiurim on Torah anytime at this moment. The only danger is, I believe, is that anyone that's going to listen to the Rav tonight is probably going to become a very big fan, because you're going to hear the beauty of his Torah, the clarity, how he weaves everything together, and most importantly, how you're going to feel extremely prepared for the upcoming Hag of Hag Hanukkah. And Mezat Hashem, we should all be inspired, and we should take his words to heart, and Mezat Hashem, this should be a chizuk for everyone out there. Kavod.
Ner Chanukah lemala me'esrim ama pesula. I feel like maybe I'm a little bit too high to be kosher for Chanukah, but Bezrat Hashem, we're all together in this. Thank you so much, Rav, for the very warm and generous introduction. And I would like to share with you this evening a few thoughts that are meaningful to me regarding the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah, and Bezrat Hashem, B'siyata D'shmaya, hope to elevate and enhance our appreciation of some of the main ideas, and principles regarding the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah. There's a very important principle in the Zohar HaKadosh. The Zohar tells us, quoted by Rabbi Yosef Engel, that the Kedusha of an upcoming Yom Tov is always latent in the Shabbos that precedes that Yom Tov, which means that if Chanukah is this coming Sunday evening, then the Kedusha of Chanukah will be found in this coming Shabbos, Parshas Vayeshev, which behooves us to delve and probe into Parshas Vayeshev, looking for a remez to the upcoming Yom Tov of Chanukah. And it does not seem to have any connection at all to Chanukah. After all, Parshas Vayeshev talks about the dreams of Yosef, the bundles, the sheaves bowing down to Yosef's bundle, and then the sun, the moon, the stars bowing down to Yosef. What's this got to do with Chanukah? And then Yosef is sold down to Mitzrayim. And then Yehuda, Vayered Yehuda. And then Yosef's in jail. I mean, what's this got to do with Chanukah? Vashem Heyereinai, that actually the episode of Yosef's dreams is very much connected to Chanukah. In fact, I believe the entire Yom Tov of Chanukah is alluded to in the dreams of Yosef, and in a dream that the Torah doesn't talk about. Because even though, if we were to ask, how many dreams did Yosef HaTzadik have? Well, look in the Chumash. The Chumash says Yosef had two dreams. Vaya chalom Yosef chalom. Vayomer alehem shimuna. Hachalom hazeh asher chalomti. Vehine anachnu ma'alamim alumim b'soy chasadeh. We were bundling bundles. V'hine kama alumasi v'gam nitzava. V'hine sesubena alumai seichem atishtachvena la'alumasi. So the first dream Yosef HaTzadik has is that all the bundles representing Yosef's siblings, Yaakov, and Yaakov's wives bow down to Yosef, and then the sun, the moon, the stars, they bow down to Yosef. And you would think that in total, how many dreams does Yosef have? In total, Yosef has 2 dreams. But here's the issue. The pasuk says, "Vayachalom Yosef chalom." Yosef had a dream. "Vayagid le'echav," and he told his brothers. "Vayosifu oid sinoyos," and they hated him even more. Even more than what? This is the first dream. What do you mean they hated him even more? And he says, "Vayomer alehem shemunah chalom hazar shacham." Listen up to the dream. And then the pasuk says, "Vayosifu oid sinoyosai." They hated him more. Al chaloy moisav, for his dreams. What do you mean for his dreams? He only had one dream so far. The Bar Tanura, Rabbi Avadya Bar Tanura, wrote a perush on Chumash. It's called Amar Nekeh. And in his commentary on Chumash, the Bar Tanura reveals that actually Yosef had 2 dreams, and then the dream about the sun, the moon, and the stars, a total of 3 dreams. 3 dreams? But the pasuk only says 2 dreams. No, it's clear there's an unspoken dream. Obviously, there's a dream that Yosef had that the Chumash doesn't record. That's an amazing revelation. He had a dream that the Chumash does not even record. What is this dream? So the Bar Tanur says, if you look at later on in Parshas Vayechi, the pasuk says that after the Ptira of Yaakov Avinu, after Yaakov Avinu passed away, so the brothers were starting to get really nervous. The brothers said, maybe so long as Yaakov was alive, so Yosef didn't harm us. He didn't want to upset Dad. But now that Dad is dead, maybe Yosef will imprison us. Maybe Yosef will kill us. So Yosef comes to the brothers, and he tells the brothers, listen up. Vayinochem oisam, he consoled them. Vayedaber elibam, he spoke to their heart. What exactly did Yosef tell the brothers? Says the Gemara Megillah, Rashi says, look in Masechta Megillah. Says the Gemara Megillah, Yosef told the brothers the following image. He illustrated the following imagery. That if 10 candles can put out one candle, then one candle can put out 10 candles. What was Yosef telling the brothers? If you 10 guys, you were surrounding me, and you could have killed me, and you could have harmed me, and you tried to harm me, and you threw me in the pit, and really, you couldn't do anything to me. You threw me in a pit with snakes and scorpions, and you could not hurt me at all. So if the 10 of you couldn't hurt me, now that it's me on the offensive, and you have to deal with me, you think I could hurt you? That's what Yosef was telling the brothers. If the 10 of you couldn't harm me, how can I harm you guys? But why does Yosef use the analogy, if 10 candles can put out one candle, then how could one candle put out 10 candles? What's he talking about candles for? Why didn't Yosef say, if 10 lions couldn't harm one lion can't harm 10 lions? Why didn't Yosef say, if 10 bulldozers can't knock over one can knock out 10? What's he talking about candles? Where did he get this analogy of candles from? Says the Bar Tanura, it must be Yosef got this analogy from his dream. Yosef had a dream that's not recorded in the Chumash. You know what he saw in the dream? He saw 10 candles. Tried to put out one candle. And the 10 candles were not able to put out one candle. That was the first dream of Yosef HaTzadik in Parshas Vayeshev. That's the dream the Torah alludes to when it says, Vayosifu oid sinoy oisai. That's the dream that the Torah refers to, Vayosifu oid sinoy al chaloy moisav. It's not recorded. Ask the Bar Tanura, why isn't it recorded? It's not recorded because it didn't get on the brothers' nerves. Because what's Yosef telling them already? Yosef's just saying, hey, you guys, you can't harm me. Okay, so we can't harm you. It didn't get under their skin. But when Yosef is telling him about his visions of grandeur, that he's going to be the melech, that bothered them. And therefore, there's an unspoken dream that's not recorded in the Chumash. Namely, Yosef sees 11 candles. So now we already start to see that there's a remez to Chanukah on this week's Parsha. Because the first dream in Parsha's Vayeshev that's not explicitly recorded is a dream about 11 candles. So we're off to a good start. Yeah, but 11 candles, that seems like a random number. What does that have to do with Hanukkah? So watch this. That means Yosef saw in the dream 10 candles could not put out one candle. So how many candles do we have so far? 11 candles. Then Yosef goes to the brothers and he says, hey guys, 10 candles can't put out one candle. That's another 11 candles. We're up to 22 candles. And then in Parshas Vayechi, when the brothers are getting nervous that Yosef's going to harm them, what does Yosef tell the brothers? That if 10 candles couldn't put out one, another 11, 33, then one candle can't put out 10 candles, another 11, 44. These are the 44 Neros of Hanukkah. Hafla v'fela. The remez to the Memdal and Neros Hanukkah are alluded to a first 11 in Yosef's dream, then another 11 Yosef relating the dream, then at the end of Vayechi, Yosef says if the 10 couldn't put out one, another 11, then the one can't put out 10. These are the 44 Neros of Hanukkah. As we know, there are two ways of counting Neros Hanukkah. You could count it 36, right, without the Shamash, 36. By the way, what's the significance of the 36 candles of Hanukkah? Because we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the original light of creation, the primordial light, illuminated, like the Bnei Yisoschar writes, how long, Mr. Fuchs?
36 hours.
Mr. Fuchs is revealing to us this great secret. 36 hours, the original light illuminated the world. And when we light the Ner Chanukah, we are bringing out the Or HaGonos of the original light of creation. In fact, you know, by every act of creation, Vayom Elokim Yehi Rokia Vayehi Chen, Vayom Elokim Yishutzu Hamayim Vayehi Chen, Vayom Elokim Nasa Adam Vayehi Chen, every act of creation, it was so, it was so, it was so, except for Vayom Elokim Yehi Or. There should be light. It doesn't say Vayehi Chen, it just says Vayehi Or. Because God wanted there to be this special original light, but it couldn't exist, so Hashem had to put it away for the tzaddikim la'asud lavoi. But one time in our history, this original light came out. When Aaron lit the menorah, Vayas Kain Aharon, says the Malbim. When Aaron lit the menorah, he brought out the Chain, the original light of creation, the light that lasted for 36 hours. Kain also as Hamanoira, says the Bnei Yisoschar in Sefer Chidushei Mahartza. That is why Parshas Behaloischa, which speaks about the lighting of the menorah, is the 36th parsha in the Torah. Keneged the Lamed Vav Neros of Chanukah, keneged the Lamed Vav hours that the original light lit up the world. However, there's another cheshbon, there's another way to count the Neros, not 36, there are 44 Neros of Chanukah together with the Shamash. So, for example, there's a big discussion in Halacha. Parties on Chanukah, Sudas Mitzvah, or Sudas Rishos? Is it a fulfillment of a mitzvah to have a Suda on Chanukah, or is it merely discretionary? So the Maharam Meir Rotenberg writes that Chanukah was enacted only lehoidos ulahalal, not for mishtav v'simcha. I saw just yesterday an amazing chassam sofer. Why was Chanukah enacted lehoidos ulahalal, not for mishtav v'simcha? He says that, you know, the episode of what occurred in the city of Shechem was a precursor, a pre-enactment for the story of Chanukah. Story of Chanukah began when the Greek general said, okay, give me every maiden, kol ha tiboel lehegmoin techila. The Greek governor violated every Jewish woman. That's what started all the tragedies in the times of Chanukah. Likewise, in the episode of Shechem, Shechem violated Dina. And how did we eradicate Shechem? Through Shimon and Levi. How did we eradicate the Yevonim? Through the Kohanim. Just like in the times of Shechem, it was Rabim Biad Ma'atim, the whole city in the hands of only two Bnei Yaakov, so too in the times of the Chashmonaim, it was 13 Chashmonaim who eradicated the entire Syrian Greek army. So it's a very big parallel. Now, that means the city of Shechem was the city which created the miracle of Hanukkah. When Shimon and Levi wiped out the city of Shechem, that created the miracle of Hanukkah. So, when the brothers later came to the city of Shechem in this week's parsha, in Parshas Vayeshev, they said, hey, this city, we were going to be successful in this city. In this city, we're empowered. And that's why they had the gumption and the audacity to sell Yosef in the city of Shechem, because they already knew in this city, Shimon and Levi will be successful. They already were earlier when they wiped out the city of Shechem. And therefore, they sold Yosef in Shechem, but they made a big mistake when they sold Yosef. They ate and they drank. Vayoichlu vayishtu. And because they ate and they drank in the city where they created the future miracle of Hanukkah, therefore they did not want to enact Hanukkah b'mishta v'simcha only l'hoydos olahala. Perhaps we could add, that means the miracle of Hanukkah began b'shchem. B'shchem. B'shchem stands for, how are we doing? Good? I'm on there? Good. B'shchem stands for Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusai. The Zohar HaKadosh says, anybody know how many letters in the words Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusai Le'alamad? 24 letters in Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusai Le'alamad. Says the Zohar, when you finish Baruch Shem Kevoid Malchusai Le'alamad, the 24th day of Kislev, then Hanukkah comes, Keneged Shema Yisrael, which is 25 letters. That's another remez. B'shechem, that the Yom Tov of Hanukkah is rooted B'shechem, Baruch Shem Kvoyin Ma'achusay Lombard, after the number 24. Now, the opinion of Marame Rotenberg is parties on Hanukkah are discretionary, meaning, you want to eat? You want to have latkes? Eat latkes. You want to eat donuts with 2,000 calories? No problem. You want to eat unhealthy food? Go for it. But there's no mitzvah. However, other Achronim, the Marshal says, the sudois of Hanukkah are sudois mitzvah. You know, Rav Avigdor Miller, Zechut Tzadik Levracha, I grew up here in Flatbush, Ir HaKodesh, Ir Ve'im B'Yisrael, on Avenue M and East 31st. And when I came back from Eretz Yisrael, Hashem gave me a great gift. He put into my head, I should walk to the shul of Harav Avigdor Miller, Zechut Tzadik Levracha. Where is it? S in Ocean Parkway? R in Ocean Parkway? R. So I used to walk there for 3 years every Shabbos. Rav Miller said, what's the inyan of a family Hanukkah party? The main objective of Hanukkah is L'hoidos Ahal, to thank Hashem. Now there are two ways of thanking Hashem. You could thank Hashem as an individual. You could thank Hashem as a tzibur. But there's a third dimension of gratitude to Hashem, and that is Havu Lashem Mishpachos Amim, Havu Lashem Kavod Va'ayis. There's a Bechina, there's a Geder of Hoidah as a family. So since Chanukah is a day of Hoidah, so we thank Hashem as an individual, you light your menorah. We thank Hashem as a tzibur in the shul. But how do we thank Hashem as Havu Lashem Mishpachos Amim? That's the Chanukah party. So the Marshal is of the opinion, sudos of Hanukkah are sudas mitzvah. And the remez is, you ready for this? Utevoyach, tevach, v'hochein. That's the suda that Yosef prepared for the brothers. If you take the ches at the end of tevach, and you connect it to the word v'hochein, it spells out, ches v'hochein Hanukkah. So that's a remez to the sudos of Hanukkah. Furthermore, says the Marshal, utevoyach, Tevach is Gematria, Mem Dalid. These are the 44 Nerois of Hanukkah. So we see there's a Geder of 44 candles of Hanukkah. Or the Chida writes, Mizmar, Shir, Chanukas, Rosh Tevois, Mashach. What does Mashach stand for? Mila, Shabbos, Chodesh. The three mitzvahs that Yevanim tried to abolish. Le David, Gematria 44. Again, a remez to the 44 Neros of Hanukkah. So we see that 44 is a very significant number. So you got the 44 candles, 11 in Yosef's dream, 11 in the repetition of the dream, 11 Yosef says, the 10 of you couldn't put me out, then I can't put you guys out. So you'll ask, why are the last 22 Neros alluded to all the way in Parshas Vayechi? What are they doing in Parshas Vayechi? I'll tell you a little secret. Yaakov Avinu. When does he pass away? I know, in Parshas Vayechi. But what day of the year does Yaakov Avinu pass away? So, Seder Hadoro says Yaakov Avinu passed away on Sukkot. Tesvav Tishrei. That's why Pesach is Keneged Avraham. And Shavuos is Keneged Yitzchak. And Sukkot is Keneged Yaakov Avinu. So he passed away on Tesvav Tishrei. They embalmed him for 40 days. They cried for him for 30 days. How many days did they in total mourn for Yaakov Avinu? 70 days. From Tesvav Tishrei, let's count 70 days. Until, says Chasam Sofer, Chof Hei Kislev. Yaakov Avinu's Avilus was over on the first night of Chanukah. And then in Goyren Ha'atad, they mourned him for 7 more days. And then on Zois Chanukah, Yosef tells the brothers, the 10 of you couldn't put me out. I can't put you out. So now we understand the 44 Neroi span from the Shabbos before Chanukah until Zois Chanukah. And this remez is Oyoim V'Noira. It's a beautiful remez. And I think it is a gift min HaShamayim. Okay, so that's the first Indian I want to speak out. The remez to the 44 Neros, beginning in Parshas Vayeshev, going to Parshas Vayechi. And then we move on in the Parsha. And don't think Yehuda goes down from his brothers and he meets this Kenani guy, a merchant. He does business with him. And he has kids and his kids die. And he ends up telling Tamar, you know, wait for my kid Shelah. And Yehuda and Tamar end up living together. Yehuda didn't know it was her. And Tamar is about to be convicted, and she's about to be taken out to be burned to death. And she sends word to Yehuda, Hakerna, recognize, please. Lemi hachoisemes v'hapasila v'hamata ha'ela. So there was a great rabbi, Rabbi Avram Doiv Avarish, the Bas Ayin, whose yahrzeit was this past week. He was a great Rav, Talmud of Rav Levi Yitzchak of Barditchev. And a very fiery speaker, he came to the city of Tzfas. And you could go to his shul today during the earthquake of Tzfas. There was a big dome over the bima, and the earthquake shook the shul, and the entire dome fell down. And he gathered some of his bnei kehila next to him, and those who were next to Rav Ram Dov of Avarish were saved. He wrote a sefer, an amazing sefer, Bas Ayin. And the Bas Ayin writes, again, in this episode of Yehuda and Tamar, we have another remez to the story of Chanukah. How's that? Anybody know? What is the first day of creation of the world? So we say, Rosh Hashanah. No, but Rosh Hashanah is the day Hashem created man. So what's the first day of Briyas HaOlam? Chaf Hei Elul, 25th day of Elul. Because it's a Pele, you know, usually Yom Tovim are either Rosh Chodesh or middle of the month. Here it is Chanukah, the 25th. What's the 25th? And the answer, the Shulchan Kodesh says, because Chanukah is 3 months into the year from the first day of creation. So the first day of creation is Chaf Hei Elul. 3 months later is Chanukah. Says the Pasuk, Vayihi kimishloish chadoshim. It was when 3 months passed from Chaf Hei Elul until Chaf Hei Tishrei, until Chaf Hei Kislev. Vayu Gadli Yehuda, it was told to Yehuda. Who's Yehuda? Let's look at the name Yehuda. Yehuda's Yud Kei Vav Kei. It was told to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because the Bas Ayin, you know, there's a tradition from the Arizal that even though technically, you know, you're supposed to do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, but for those who don't do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah, you know, you have till Yom Kippur. And for those who don't do tshuva by Yom Kippur, we extend it until Hoshana Rabbah. And if you don't do tshuva by Hoshana Rabbah, you have until Shmini Atzeres. But if you don't do tshuva by Shmini Atzeres, there's a tradition from the Arizal, you could do tshuva up until Chanukah. My grandfather, Zeratzak Debracha, told me, Toshev Enoish Ad Daka. Man, do teshuva ad Dalet Chaf Aleph. The 25th day of Kislev. Toshev. And they quote the Arizal that you're allowed to do tshuva until Chanukah. And yet you could look at all of the writings of the Arizal. Nowhere does Arizal make any mention or insinuation that you could do tshuva until Chanukah. And yet the Bas Ayin writes that this is an established tradition, that there's an element of tshuva you could continue to do until Chanukah. And it's alluded to in the pasuk in this week's parasha. Vayehi kimishloish chadashim, it was 3 months. Vayu gad li Yehuda, and it was told to Yehuda to God, Zansa Tamar, Klal Yisrael, was Mezaneh, they strayed away. We are compared to a Tamar. Damsa l'samar. Vegam hine hara l'znunim. Not only have we strayed away from Hashem, but we've been so accustomed to sin. Sin has become so connected to us that we can't extricate ourselves from it. So what did God say? Vayoymer Yehuda. God said, Hoytziyuha v'si saref. Kill him. There's no hope. He mutzeis. We were about to be taken out, to be executed. V'hi shilcha el chamia. We sent to the big father-in-law, the big guy in heaven. Hakerna, recognize God. Lemi hachoisemes. Didn't you make the miracle of Chanukah for us? That was nechtam b'chasimas koyin gadol. The hapsilim. Didn't you give us the miracle of Chanukah that we light the psilim, the hamate, and we light in the kli of the menorah? We have Chanukah. And if you have Chanukah, you could always do tshuva, because you could do tshuva until Chanukah. This, says the Bas Ayin, is the source that on some level there's still hope and you could repent until Chanukah. So even though at first glance Parshas Vayeshev seems to have nothing to do with Chanukah, nevertheless, if you dig beneath the surface, you'll uncover in each episode how it's teaching us secrets and the foundation of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. I want to share with you a very important question. What Masechta is the story of Chanukah found in? Of course, it's Masechta Shabbos. Why is it in Masechta Shabbos? Because Masechta Shabbos in Perek Bamem Adlikin talks about lighting Ner Shabbos. So in the parak that talks about Ner Shabbos, it talks about Ner Chanukah. So presumably, in the Gemara that tells us the story of the narrative of Chanukah, it would tell us we're supposed to light the menorah. So I want to just read to you a Gemara you're already familiar with, and sometimes it doesn't even dawn on us that Iker Chaser Menasefer. The Gemara left out the main part of the story. My Chanukah! What's Chanukah? So the Gemara says on the 25th day of Kislev are 8 days of Chanukah. You can't eulogize, you can't fast, you can't do homework, you can't, no, just joking, that you could do. But you can't fast and you can't eulogize. The Syrian Greeks entered the Heichal, they contaminated all the oil in the Heichal, and the Chashmonaim prevailed, and they went into the Heichal, and they searched for pure oil. They could not find. They found one flask. It was enough to light for one night. Lo and behold, it lasted for 8 nights. You ready? Here's the clincher. L'shana acheres, the next year, kavum, they established. Ve'asom, and they made these days. Yomim toivim. Drum roll, please. So what are we supposed to do on Chanukah? Behalel uvahida. Say Hallel, which we do. 8 nights of Chanukah, we say Hallel. Uvahayda, and we thank God. Rashi says that means Al Hanisim. Really? So the first thing we see is it doesn't say you have to eat donuts. That the Gemara doesn't say. And the Gemara also doesn't say you have to light the menorah. Did you know that? The whole reason why the story of Chanukah is in Masechta Shabbos is to be in Bamem Adlikin. And the reason why it's in Bamem Adlikin is because Bamem Adlikin is talking about Ner Shabbos, so that Chanukah is Ner Chanukah. And the Gemara tells you, and what happened on Chanukah? They found the oil. And what do you do on Chanukah? Hallel and Al Anisim. What about the menorah? What's the menorah? Nothing about the menorah. The Gemara doesn't say one word about lighting the menorah on Chanukah. So there are two approaches to this. One I'm not going to speak about, I'm going to say very briefly. If you want to know about that one, listen to some Shiurim on Torah anytime. Today we're saying a new one. Somebody wanted to know if I'm repeating. We don't repeat over here. No recycling. I don't believe in any liberal philosophies. Okay? So, But just Bekitzer Nimratz, the Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, you know, the Gemara tells us, Haragil Baner, anyone who lights the candle, anyone who lights Ner Chanukah, Havin Le Banim Tamid Chachamim, will have sons who are Torah scholars. Question is, yeah, but everyone lights the candle on Chanukah, and not everybody has Banim Tamid Chachamim. Pretty good question. The Gemara says, if you light Ner Chanukah, your sons will be Gedolei Hadar. Yeah, every household, every Jewish household, the kids are Gedolei Hadar. So the answer is like this. You know, the Gemara does not say there's a mitzvah to light the menorah. If you look in the Rambam says, what's Chanukah? Hallel and lighting the menorah. So the Rambam doesn't say anything about Hoidah. The Rambam instead talks about lighting the menorah. The answer is, the Gemara does talk about lighting the menorah. Namely, the purpose and the objective of lighting the menorah is that the lighting of the menorah is an expression of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Instead of saying, Lord, I thank you for the miracles you brought, we express it in action instead of with words. We light the menorah, the lighting of the menorah is an expression of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if someone were to light the menorah, and he said, Hinini muchanu mezuman lekayem mitzvahs halakas ha-menorah liyachda shem yudke bevavke biyuchuda shlim shem kol Yisrael. And they lit the menorah, and they forgot to think that lighting the menorah is an expression of gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says Rabbi Tzal Zolti lo yatza. You didn't even get the mitzvah. Because there's no mitzvah to light the menorah. The mitzvah is to express gratitude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by lighting the menorah. So the Gemara says, on Chanukah, you have to thank Hashem. And the Rambam says, how? By lighting the menorah. And therefore, yeah, everybody lights the menorah, but does everybody understand and appreciate that it's not just an act of mitzvah like shaking lulav and esrog, it's an expression of gratitude. That is a topic in and of itself. ayinbetorahanytime.com, a few shiurim. Today we're going to learn a different approach to this Gemara. Back to the question. You ready for the question? The Gemara says, what do you do on Chanukah? Hallel v'hoidah. What about lighting the menorah? Why doesn't the Gemara talk about lighting the menorah? Back to the Rambam. It says the Rambam, on the 25th day of Kislev, Yimei Simcha, v'hallel. U'madlikin bohen haneirois. What does the word umadlikin v'han neiros mean? That you have to light neiros? No, that's not what it means. The Rambam doesn't say yemei simcha v'halel u'lehadlik. The Rambam says umadlikin. People do it. People do a lot of things on Chanukah. They spin a dreidel. It's not a mitzvah. Umadlikin implies discretionary. And then the Rambam at the end says, by the way, these days are called Chanukah. You can't eulogize on these days. You can't fast on these days. Behadlokas haneirois mitzvah midivrei soifrim kekriyas hamegillah. Lighting the candles is a rabbinic mitzvah. Why is the Rambam talking about lighting the candles again? He talked about it before. First he said umadlikin, which sounds like it's discretionary, and then the Rambam goes back to lighting the candles, and he seems to say it's obligatory. Raise your hand if you have a son-in-law who you had to buy an expensive menorah for. Yeah, that's a very big mitzvah. Yeah, he did? Gold, silver, what kind?
Gold.
Gold. Is there a mitzvah to have a nice menorah? You know, the Mishnah Berurah writes, you should try to have a beautiful menorah. So, instinctively, we think, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We should try to have a nice menorah. Anybody here, we think, oh, you know why you should have a nice menorah? Hiddur mitzvah. Do you buy a silver doorpost? Oh, I have to have a silver doorpost for my mezuzah. Anyone has a silver doorpost is out of their mind. Why do you have a silver doorpost? The doorpost is not the item of the mitzvah. The mezuzah is the item of the mitzvah. There's no concept of, anyone here have a beautiful roof? Because since there's a mitzvah to put a fence around your roof, you should have a beautiful roof. I mean, that would be ridiculous. You know, is there a mitzvah to have a beautiful talis bag? You want to have a nice talis bag? Have a nice talis bag. You want to have a talis bag that looks like the Parah Aduma and it's furry? Go ahead. There's no mitzvah. There's no hiddur mitzvah to have a nice talis bag. It's a mitzvah to have a nice talis. Not just nice strings, a nice talis. You don't have to have a nice talis bag. So why should you have a nice menorah? You know, the mitzvah is not to light a menorah. The mitzvah is to light a beautiful wick and oil. The menorah is just what houses it. Since why should you have a nice menorah? Does anybody know, do you even have to have a menorah? You know, it's a very interesting machlokes halacha. Let's say I want to take, let's say an onion. Carve out the onion, put oil in it, and have 8 onion shells. So the Chesed Li Avram, the great-grandfather of the Chida, says, it's not good. It's not good. He lists 15 levels of menorah. Gold, silver, copper, platinum, 15 different levels. And the Shalos HaTshuvos Avnei Nezer says, it seems from the Chesed Avram, that you need to light in a kli. And if you light in something that will topple over, lo yatsa. But Lamaisa, the Poiskim say, we don't hold like that. You don't even need to have a menorah. If you take 8 candles and you stick it onto the table, you're Yoytzei Lechatchila. So if you don't even need a menorah, why in the world would you need to have a nice menorah? For what? That's not Hidr Mitzvah. Hidr Mitzvah is to beautify the item of the mitzvah, not to beautify the case. I mean, you heard the new shtick in the stores? They have gold yarmulke boxes. Hidr mitzvah. Where do you keep your yarmulke at night? It's a shame. You just take it off and you put it on the dresser. It's mamish a bezayon. From now on, I want everyone to go to the store for $500, buy a gold yarmulke box with pearls and rubies in it, with your name spelled out. Yankel Feivel's yarmulke box. You'll see. Soon you're going to have to buy that one for your son-in-law. Better buy a nice box to put your son-in-law in. That's what, you know. Why should you have a nice menorah? There's a mitzvah to light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses. Where do we light the menorah in the Beis HaKnesses? In the Darom, in the south. Just like in the Beis HaMikdash. Why should the menorah in the shul be just like the Beis HaMikdash? Here's the idea. The idea is like this. We know that in the beginning of Parshas Bahaloischa, Aaron HaKoyen was feeling very down. He was feeling very despondent. Aaron HaKoyen looks at Reuven. Reuven brought Karbanos to inaugurate the Mizbeach. Shimon brought Karbanos to inaugurate the Mizbeach. All the Nasiim brought Karbanos to inaugurate the Mizbeach. Aaron HaKoyen had no share in the Chanukas HaMizbeach. God says, Aaron, don't sweat it. Bahaloischas HaNeiros. What you have is greater than what you have, what they have, because you light the menorah. Why is God consoling Aaron with the lighting of the menorah? Why doesn't God console Aaron? Hey, you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom HaKippurim. You are makter the Ketores every day. Why davka the lighting of the menorah? The Ramban says, what Hashem was telling Aaron was they're just inaugurating the Mizbeach in the times that the temple stood, but you will light the menorah forever and ever and ever. How will Aaron light the menorah forever and ever and ever? When the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, there's no lighting of the menorah. So I want to share with you an idea of one of the great all-time Polish gedolim, Rabbi Yeshua Mikutna. My great-great-grandfather was a student of Rabbi Yeshua Mikutna. He's one of the greatest goyim in Poland. And his son has a sefer, Yovin Das, and he has a chiddush otzum. When the miracle of Hanukkah took place, anybody know what year did the miracle of Hanukkah take place? 200 years into the Second Temple. And they came into the temple and they lit the menorah. There's only enough oil to last for one night, and it lasted for 8 days. So the next year, they made a yomtiv. You know what the yomtiv was? Say Hallel, say Al HaNisim. But they never told the Jewish people they have to light the menorah. For what? What are you lighting a menorah for? To remember the miracle in the menorah? Why would they do that? There's a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And they lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash for 200 years. Says Rabbi Shulam Mikutna's son, for 200 years, there was no mitzvah of lighting the menorah. You know why the Gemara doesn't say that the next year they made a mitzvah of lighting the menorah? There was no mitzvah to light the menorah. They never made such a mitzvah. For what purpose? They had something better. Why would they tell a Jew? Would they tell a Jew, bring karbonos in your house? You can't bring karbonos in your house. So they didn't tell the Jew, light the menorah. Chas v'sham to light the menorah. That's something that's reserved for the Beis HaMikdash. They never were masakin for 200 years, the mitzvah of lighting the menorah. Then, 200 years later, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the later Chachamim enacted a new mitzvah, and they said, that lighting of the menorah that you did in the Beis HaMikdash, from now on, move it to your dining room table, move it to your window, and that lighting of the menorah will be a hemshech, a continuation of the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. But for 200 years, the Jewish people did not light the menorah in their homes. That's why the Rambam says, "Umadlikim hanayros." It's discretionary. You want to light, light. You don't want to light, don't light. And then the Rambam says later that when the Chachamim of 200 years later made a mitzvah to light the menorah, it's just as important as laying the Megillah. Don't think because that enactment came later in history, it's lesser importance. It's just as important. Which means as follows. When we light the menorah in our home, it's not like a new mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. What the rabbis are telling us is that the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is now being transplanted into your living room. Even though you can never bring karbonos in your living room, and you can never be makdir ketores in your living room, and you never could bring any of the avodah in your living room, however, the lighting of the menorah is the one avodah that is a remnant and a relic and a semblance of the ancient avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, the Ran lights, we know that one is not allowed to get hana from Neros Chanukah. You can't, you know, if you need to do Bedikas Chametz, or you need to search for something, or you're a little cold, you're not allowed to get hana from the Neros of Chanukah. Why not? So Rashi says, because otherwise it's not going to be recognizable that they were lit for Persumei Nisa, that they were lit for the miracle. However, the Ran writes, the reason why you're not allowed to be Nene from the Neros of Chanukah is because they enacted the lighting of the menorah similar to the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. And just like you can't be Nene from the light of the Beis HaMikdash, because that would be Moyal Behektesh, you'd be misappropriating holy items, you can't be Nene from Neros Chanukah, because the Neros of Chanukah in your living room is the one Avodah that's a remnant of the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. Which is an incredible idea. In other words, we were to ask, once upon a time, 2,000 years ago, the Beis HaMikdash stood, and karbanos were brought, ketores, menachos, oila, shlamim, avoida b'chol yom. Is there any remnant of the avoida, the Beis HaMikdash, ever, ever, ever? There's one thing. Hashem tells Aaron HaKohen, you should know that the avoida that you do is much greater than bringing karbanos, because bringing karbanos is only 400 years. The lighting of the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash lasted ad hayoim hazeh. Which means you're going to go into your living room, and for 8 days, your living room turns into the Heichal HaBeis HaMikdash, and you're there with Hashras Hashchina, and the same way Eidus Hu Li Yisrael Sheshchina Shoira B'Soichenu, in your living room, you become like the Kohen, and you literally bring the Shekhinah down into your home, an ancient relic of the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam told Aaron HaKohen, Shalcha Gedoyla Mishalahem. Lighting the menorah is much greater than bringing karbonos. Lighting the menorah lasts forever. The reason why there's an Indian to have a nice menorah, it's not Hidur Mitzvah, it's Zecher LeMikdash. Your menorah is a Zecher to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the Indian of the beautiful menorah. But let's just think for a moment. Why is it? Carbon oila we don't have anymore. Carbon shlamim we don't have anymore. Ketores we don't have anymore. Washing from the kiyar we don't have anymore. We still have lighting the menorah. What is it about lighting the menorah that it lasted for all time? Says the Medrash, if a Talmud would ask a good kasha, Reb Tarfon would say what? kaftar v'farach, buttons and knobs. I had a Rebbe, you ask a good kashya, you say, oh, kaftar v'farach. What is the decorations, the designs of the menorah, what does that have to do with a good kasha? You see, unbelievably, we know how many gateways of chachma are there? 49. There are 50, Moshe knew 49. The Gross says the 49 details of the menorah correspond to the 49 Shari Chachma, the 17 goblets and the 11 buttons and the flowers and the 7 kanim, a total of 49. The hashpa of the Torah Shebaal Peh came to Klal Yisrael through the menorah. The influence of Tar Shebechsav came through the Aroin. The influence of the Tar Shebaal Peh came to the Jewish people through the menorah. The one goodie, the one treasure of antiquity that we still have today, we lost everything. We have no nevuah, we have no Urim v'Tumim, we have nothing. We don't even have Torah Shebichsav. Even Torah Shebichsav, the Goyim have co-opted the Torah Shebichsav. There's only one ancient goodie that remains in its pristine form, that nobody was able to rob from us, nobody was able to co-opt from us, nobody was able to hijack, and that is the oral law. The oral law is Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Loikaras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bris Im Yisrael, Ela B'Torah Shebaal Peh. One treasure that we have today that is just as pristine as from yesteryear is the Torah Shebaal Peh. And therefore the menorah, which represents the light of the Torah Shebaal Peh, is the one avoida of the Beis HaMikdash that lasts forever and ever and ever. In fact, there's a hiddur on Erev Shabbos, Chanukah. Some people, they try to daven mincha before Hadlakas HaMenorah. Why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash, the Tamid Shalbein Harbayim was brought before the Hadlakas HaMenorah. Okay, what's that got to do with my menorah? Again, we see the lighting of our menorah was enacted to be similar to the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So, even though we've lost everything, the light of the Torah continues to burn bright. Ein lanu shir, rak ha-Torah hazois. And from the lighting of the menorah, we're all mespalel, that from this or, we're mespalel, or chadosh al tzion ta'ir, v'nizka chulanu mehera la'oiroi. Rabin Bechaye says that Chanukah is the inauguration of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, that our avodah on Chanukah brings in, ushers in the light of the Yemos HaMashiach. May we be zoicha through our avodah to bring in the great light of the coming HaMashiach, b'mehera v'yameinu, amen. Shkayach. Baruch tiyah.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.